Hello and hi. Welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and I'm here today with director James Nunn, whose new feature, Sharkbait, is in theaters, on digital, and on demand, May 13th. And I'm a fan of shark movies. Everybody knows that. And this one's kind of fun, but the title just keeps cracking me up. Welcome, James.
Well, thank you for having me, Summer. And thanks. It's good to be on with a fan, with a shark fan.
So. Oh, you can! I saw Jaws in the theater when I was 10 years old. It kind of made an impression.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Actually, funny enough. So I saw Jurassic Park in the cinema when I was 9 years old. And what sort of led me to this career path, I suppose. And funny enough, though, like, it's always Jurassic Park or Jaws, which is number one. And I always go to Jurassic Park just because it was like, I saw it in the cinema when I was nine and it changed me. But Jaws is equally up there in the, you know, top two movies of all time for me.
And both of them have stood the test of time. They both hold up very well. They're both also still very fun, very exciting. So I'm going to guess that you prefer making thriller movies with monsters or creatures.
Yeah, I suppose I do. It's like, I always wanted to make a shark movie for sure. And I didn't know how that would ever come about. Because, you know, we're dreamers, us filmmakers, we just dream, you know, big and like, will these things ever happen? And it's in a fortunate situation where actually I first assistant directed and second unit directed a couple of shark movies about 6 years ago called 47 Meters Down. Mm-hmm. And they did pretty well. And then off the back of that, there's a producer in England called Andrew Prendergast, and he was developing a shark script by a writer called Nick Sartreese, and they kind of like approached me, were like, look, you kind of know how to make shark movies, are you interested in doing our shark movie? And I read it, and I was like, you know, this is a fun setup for a movie, because half of the thing with the shark movie is like, how do you get them in the water, you know, like, what's the setup? And I thought Nick had done a really good job of you know, setting that up in a fun way, a really visual way, and also putting this group of characters that, yeah, because there are obvious comparisons to other similar movies in this genre. But what I liked about the Five Spring Breakers was like it gave a tone anyway and a type of person in it. But then it equally, it kind of gave the slasher setup to the movie. So probably more akin to Jaws 2 than Jaws 1.
Yeah, this one, I was trying to figure out where the setup was coming. You have a bunch of college students on spring break on a beach in Mexico, and they are drunk, which always leads to interesting shenanigans, and getting them out on the water where the shark decides to toy with them was interesting, and setting up relationship dynamics, how that plays out into who lives at, you know, no spoilers, but honestly, I thought everyone was going to be lunch.
Well, I'm glad we got you in that way then. I'm glad we threw you.
Yeah. So you had mentioned earlier that you had worked on 47 Meters Down, which was also a very intriguing shark thriller. Was there anything you learned making that movie that helped you making this one?
Yes. I mean, honestly, everything I learned on that, you know, I actually don't think this movie may have even come my way if I hadn't made those movies. And because a lot of the other, the other films that I make and movies I make are more in the kind of action thriller, martial arts, kind of fighty space. And I think the fact that I had this shark experience on those other movies really was what was the draw. Or the kind of route to market, you know, when they were picking a director for the project. So yes, I was able to bring a lot of knowledge from, you know, those movies over into this one. And I think that's probably why we were able to be really efficient and like kind of spend our efforts in the correct way to like deliver the movie that hopefully most people will think is like sort of greater than the sum of its parts, you know, in terms, it's still a low budget movie, but I really feel like that we do have something good behind us in terms of, you know, like we really went for it with the visuals, and we really went for it with the shark, and these lessons of how to shoot the movie. And like, even in casting, it was about like, before they even read. So the way the casting worked is, because it was during the first pandemic, we had 500 takes. So it's like 100 casting takes for each character, which I whittled down to 10. And then we met like 6 or 7 of those. And before they even sat down and did an in-person read, I took this information that I'd learned from working as second unit before, which was like, how good a swimmer are you? How long can you hold your breath underwater? How does your body react in like sun and under stress in the sea and stuff? And it wasn't because I was trying to rule people out, but it was more like to understand, what do we need to do? Like, how much prep do we need to put into getting you ready for what essentially is going to be an extremely grueling kind of technical adventure shoot experience? Like, most of the movie is like 90% of the movie is shot out on the ocean. And if you were really not that kind of actor that really was excited about that adventure and getting stuck in and getting down and dirty with that experience, then this probably wasn't the movie for you. So it was kind of like a two-way conversation where I was kind of like, look, this is actually a bit more than acting, because it's not The Revenant, but it's like, the, you know, it's like, there's not a real shark or a real bear, but like, it, you know, you are going to be in real situation. And the cast really, like, the cast that we got really kind of went for it and cherished and put all of their like enthusiasm into making that work. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did you test their swimming ability? Because one of the plot points is that one of the girls says she can't swim. And in my mind, I'm thinking, she has to be the strongest swimmer of the bunch to fake not being able to swim.
Yeah, well, so this is one of those stories, isn't it, where you're going to roll your eyes or laugh, or I don't know what you're going to say, but, and I haven't had to say this in one of the other press meetings yet, but actually what happened, now, I would ask everybody these questions, like, out of 10, how good a swimmer are you? Like, how long can you hold your breath? Things like that. Now, because it was COVID when we were casting, and we literally had like a week to cast the movie before we went out and shot the movie, there was no time or opportunity or even facility in England to go and test their swimming. So you just are relying on these questions and their honest answers. Now, actors are honest, mm-hmm. but also sometimes actors want work.
Embellish a little bit here and there.
Now, I'm not gonna name names, but, and it actually wasn't one of the girls, it was one of the guys, told us that he was like an 8 out of 10 swimmer, and he could hold his breath for about 50 seconds. And honestly, we flew him out. He got the job because on his interview tape where he was pretending to swim was incredible. Like, I mean, it looked like he was swimming in this dry environment. So we were like, he's amazing. And his performance was amazing. And then we put him in the water in Malta, which is where we shot the movie. And he just sunk like a stone. and we were like, oh God, like, what have we done now? Like, are we going to recast? Are we going to, like, can we work him for a week? Because at this point, he only had 4 or 5 days to kind of like be in the water. And then you've got the other problem that, because we were during COVID, like getting people out of the country was take, like, and out of England and into Malta was taking, might have taken 6 or 7 days. So we couldn't delay the shoot. So it was actually this really weird situation where this actor had kind of lied to get the job. And anyway, I said to him, look, can you do this? Are you actually going to learn to swim in a week? Like, and he went, look, James, I'm going to do it. I promise you, like, I'm going to be in the pool every morning, we pool every night, and I'll give it 200%. And so within 2 days, he'd already got a bit better. And he could swim like 5 or 10 meters, which was enough, because then we could just double him. We had a double anyway, if we needed. And as soon as I knew he could swim 5 meters within 2 days, it was like, okay, well, let's just keep going with it. We pushed all of his swimming scenes into the back end of the schedule and rewrote a couple of bits so that it wouldn't look silly. And lo and behold, he worked his absolute guts off And every day after doing like 8 hours on the ocean of treading water, he would then go and do like an hour in the pool. And within 4 weeks, when it came to shooting his big scenes where he was doing swimming, he was better. He was a better swimmer than the than his stunt double. He really rose to the occasion on that, and he didn't let us down. And he was a real team player. So it's funny though, because you look back and you're like, how the hell did we manage to employ an actor who can't swim for basically a swimming movie? And but it was kind of, that was a problem of COVID. You know, nothing was open, so you just had to. And I said, how did you ever think you were going to get away with this? He was like, I just thought we were going to do it all on green screen. And then we dump him in the ocean, you know, and he's like, is this it? Yeah, it's like, no, you're in the ocean for like 5 weeks, man. So, nice. Oh, God. Nice. But yeah, we got away with it.
I certainly hope that this ends up on Blu-ray with a whole lot of outtakes with him.
I'd love to somehow, if I can get the permission from, I mean, I filmed it, but I don't know who I need the permission from, but like, if I can put his casting tape up online someday with his permission, like, I would love that, because honestly, he's like swimming in a dry room. It's amazing. Anyone would believe it.
Oh my goodness. Vertical Entertainment, if you're listening to this, we need that as a blooper segment online someplace. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So you enjoyed doing this movie, and obviously 47 Meters Down as well. Would you jump at the chance to do another shark movie or another thriller on the ocean?
Yes, 100% thriller on the ocean. Shooting on the ocean is like amazing. I love it. Just it's so beautiful. Like the light, the patterns of light you can get from the water, and the way that it's constantly moving, and it's this organic, rich feeling. So I would never say never, because like if you come to me with like the Matrix of shark movies, I'm gonna be like, I want to do it. But it is hard to find a kind of unique shark take. So I think for now, I'd probably say I'm going to hang up the shark for a while, maybe not ever, because it is fun, but 100% I want to go back on the ocean and shoot some sort of water thriller. Yeah, Waterworld. Give me Waterworld, guys. Universal. If you can hear me, I would really like to reboot Waterworld. There, I said it. I'm not even kidding. I would
awesome,
love to
reboot. Awesome. We'd have to trim that down, because there was a lot of fluff in that movie, a lot of like... that movie could have been amazing if it were like half an hour shorter, but that's just me. Oh, okay. Here's one for you. You have a group of people being terrorized by a shark, but one of them has a history with an orca they freed years before, and that orca rescues them from the shark.
Wow. What movie is that?
It hasn't been made yet. That was just an idea that just popped into my head. So there you go.
Wow, we're pitching.
I'm not pitching. I just have these ideas and they have to come out of my head somehow. But
I'll say this, Summer. As a kid, I loved Free Willy. If it's that orca, then yes, I would love to work with the orca from Free Willy if he's still around. I don't know.
I wonder if he's still around. We'll have to find that out. But are you working on anything else currently?
Yes, I'm circling a couple of projects, if you'll excuse the shark-related pun, which I just, as I was saying, I was like, whoops, that's cheesy. Circling a few projects at the moment, and should be shooting something for the end of the year, action thriller movie. So nothing else coming out this year, but should have something next year.
Awesome. Well, we will keep tabs on that. Are you active on any of these social media platforms where people can keep up with your work?
Yes, I am. I always forget to say this. I am Mr. James Nunn, which is all one word, no spaces. And it's my surname is Nunn, N-U-N-N. So Mr. James Nunn on Instagram and on Twitter. And I'd love to hear... anything and all about the movie, and what people think of it, and where to see it, and if anyone's got any funny shark stories or horrific shark stories, I'd love to hear them.
Awesome. Awesome. So are there any really neat or gorgeous behind the scenes shots on your Instagram feed from when you were filming this?
Do you know what? I think I'm kind of like, I'm so in the zone when I'm actually filming that we do take these pictures on set, but I love social media, but I really get into it in terms of like, I can spend an hour like writing the copy on the post and stuff. And it becomes such a like, I don't just like one and dump. Like, I don't just like, here's a picture. So I feel like when I'm actually shooting, I'm so in the zone of shooting that I kind of take these pictures, I forget to post them. And then they'll probably, what I would say is expect them over the course of the next month, because now the film's out and I have a bit of time, I'll be like posting some behind the scenes pictures from the set. So there's a few on there right now, but like if you follow me over the course of the next month, there's gonna be more.
Excellent. Well, we will definitely link to those feeds and keep an eye out for the behind the scenes photos that you have promised us as avid fans of shark movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think, like, certainly for me, from my the way I came into making films, not just these short films, but like making films in general, I love making of stuff and behind the scenes stuff. And mm-hmm. like, I kind of like, I really was educated a lot in off the back of making of on DVDs. And now the format and the medium for watching movies has changed, that I think upcoming kids don't get that same exposure to. Like, obviously the big stuff, you know, your Marvel stuff, there tends to be a making of on Netflix or something. But like, even these smaller movies where you can just learn something about how they did something, like it really went into my brain. So yeah, if I can do more of that, I would like to start doing more of that over the coming years, because it's such a education. I mind you, maybe I'm not on TikTok, but maybe all the kids are doing that on TikTok.
I don't know, but I, like I said, I grew up listening to the secondary audio track, the director commentary or the creator commentary on the DVDs, and that just got me fascinated in the making of films. So I missed that feature. I wish they'd add them back to more Blu-rays, especially for the smaller indie films. So who knows? Great. Maybe we can get that done for the Blu-ray for Shark Bait.
We'll start the campaign.
There we go. Let's do it. There we go. I will be your cheerleader for it. So James, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure, Summer. And thank you so much for the interview. And I'm glad that you enjoyed the movie. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi, this is Barbara Crampton, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. Ooh, scary.
Once again, that is Shark Bait from Vertical Entertainment, available now, actually, as of May 13th on digital and on demand and in select theaters. This movie is a monster movie. It's a typical monster movie. It's a lot of predictable mayhem in a fun way. This is definitely one of those summer popcorn movies. Just, you know, happened to hit before Memorial Day instead of after. It's enjoyable. I can say that if you pay attention to the movie, it's pretty, shall I say, easy to guess who James was talking about when describing the swimming. There's only one character who does a lot of swimming compared to the others, and I would love to hear a commentary track from this particular actor. So tell me, how did you think you were going to get by on a movie on the ocean without knowing how to swim as well as you said you could? That could be one of the funniest stories ever. Seriously, there's so much that is just abjectly, I'm going to say silly, but not in a bad way, because the characters are so, they're typical, but they're not. I don't know. There's something about this movie. I think James's love for Jaws and for monster movies featuring sharks shows through here, because once they're out in the water, it's not boring. It's tense, but I had fun with it, trying to figure out, okay, who's going to get it next? Who's going to get it next? They're like, oh, they're going to rescue the guy, but not rescue him. Ouch, that had to hurt. And yeah, the shark toying with them was kind of fun. And yeah, I'd recommend this one. My affinity for monster movies and my connection at an early age to Jaws probably influences my impressions about this movie, but I've seen other shark movies that weren't fun. This one kind of was fun, so that's all I'll say about it. And yeah, now I am actually thinking about that Orca versus Shark movie, because I remember the movie Orca. Everybody remembers Free Willy. Nobody remembers Orca. That, and there's the, I think it was Discovery Channel. It was, yeah, it had to have been Discovery Channel during one of their shark weeks. The whale that ate Jaws, where that ocean tour group came upon orcas attacking a great white and winning. I'm sure it's on Discovery Plus somewhere. You can find it. But yeah, you hear stories about dolphins saving divers from sharks. Why not an orca? Probably need some work. Probably the kind of story that would get stuck in development hell for 2 or 3 years. You never know. Anyway, what are your thoughts on shark movies or predators of the deep? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com, or call in, leave a voicemail message, 602-635-6976, or leave a comment in the discussion sections of the website for this episode and any of the others. Weigh in with your commentary, because that's what we do. We're geeks. We argue about irrelevant concepts in movies and TVs and sometimes books. You can also check us out on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. Leave a comment there. I do answer questions about many different subjects, so start a conversation over there. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening through Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. Let people know you are enjoying the show. Help Signal Boost. Help us, help them find us and give a listen. You never know. We could have fun. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and the other podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your donations, your pledges help keep the lights on around here, keep the websites humming and the media flowing. So for that, I thank you. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, you will become eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winner out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K. Many of the items I get for review here on both Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark are... I just can't keep them all. So I, in turn, give the Slice of Sci-Fi supporters and fans first dibs at some of the cool stuff that I get to look at. And the other places you can donate through are Ko-fi. It's ko-fi/sliceofscifi. I'm trying to figure out a way to link the memberships there to the Patreon perks. People who submit donations through that should also be eligible for perks. And if you just want to donate every now and then, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. Another way you can support is by purchasing any of the books or DVDs, Blu-rays, through sliceofscifi.net. We have a curated list of content that I'm still curating. Our contributors will also have their own list of favorites, either books or movies or TV shows, and those will all be affiliate links. So anything you purchase through sliceofscifi.net will also go to support the efforts here. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.